In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So it's rather funny. Our reading from the New Testament today is probably one of my least favorite readings, because it's one of the most often misunderstood. If I had a nickel for every time this passage was used to actually berate or put down or even destroy a priest, we'd have a cathedral bought and paid for. These collections of readings today become very easy to just annihilate a priest. As a priest, it's hard to walk through these. You have to walk such a narrow knife edge. It's ridiculous. Drop to either side and you get hatred. Even if you stay in the middle, you get hatred. But it's rather funny because as much as I hate these verses, I love them too. There is an important aspect that is missed on all of this. These verses actually call back to me my ordination both to the diaconate and to the priesthood. I remember hearing those words, priest in the order of Melchizedek. I remember the vows that I took. It calls me back to them. And in that instance, this is one of my most beloved passages. What makes it so painful is that people forget. People forget that a priest is not supposed to be holier than the people. He's supposed to be holy first. He's supposed to be a pattern. A pattern that is broken and flawed just like the rest of humanity. A pattern that will fail, but the striving is what's important. The intention of the priest. The purpose of a priest is what's important. But here's where it really, really goes off the rails. What is the church? A church is a place of what? Christian believers, right? What is the duty of a Christian believer? To be a royal priesthood. So guess what? This applies to all of you as well. You are supposed to be the patterns. You are supposed to be the guides. You too walk the double-edged sword. Maybe not as thinly as I walk it, but you walk it nonetheless. So when you find displeasure with the leadership in a church, when you find displeasure with a priest because they didn't do something you feel like they should have done, you're hurting yourselves as well. Pretty sobering thought, isn't it? Something that we often miss. In this day and age, we sit there and we think that church, at best, is nothing more than a pageant. Nothing more than a show. We forget about the importance of the Eucharist. We forget about the importance of actually sitting there thinking about our confession of sin and asking for the forgiveness, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That implies that people make mistakes, including priests. It implies that people are broken, including priests. It implies that people are corruptible, including priests. these passages are very intense. Becoming a priest, hearing that call, is much like the sons of Zebedee. You end up drinking the cup that Christ drank, and you end up being baptized with the baptism that Christ was baptized with. And that happens in a great number of ways. But the primary point of all of that is the priesthood is a response to the call of God. Being a Christian is a response to the call of God. Scripture is so much more than what we try to make it. It's not something to be weaponized. It's not something to be dismissed. It's not something to be put on a shelf and forgotten. It is where our call to God comes from. It is how we begin to understand the divine. How we enter into the Christian world. Like every birth, there will be birth pains. Like every life, there will be growing pains. Like every death, there will be dying pains. What matters is the in-between. What matters is the coming together, the finding common ground, the ability to have discussions. Instead of alienating or dividing. Instead of putting people in boxes. Instead of creating problems. It's interesting. One of the things that's happened to me much more frequently since I have become a priest. And trust me, I still get angry. Jen can tell you all about it. But it causes me to stop and think. It is for that reason that I actually took Father Keeler's advice to heart when I was in seminary. After you're ordained, what you should do is go to the DMV, renew your license, and wear your clericals. It's a constant reminder that if you don't want anybody to catch you in what you're doing because you're a priest, it's really hard to do something stupid and pull that ID out. It's a reminder. Something that we all need. A reminder that we are fallen. A reminder that we are fallible. A reminder that we are broken. But most importantly, a reminder that that is not all. That we should rejoice because we have a royal high priest. We should rejoice because that royal high priest is not only God, but fully human. The same temptations, the same brokenness, the same problems faced Christ that faced us. Stop and think about how he acted, even towards the Pharisees. We always like that righteous anger towards the Pharisees, right? That's always fun. Yell at people because you don't like what they're doing. But his point was very to the point. Do you remember the Pharisees that brought this young woman who was convicted of adultery to Christ? And he makes the statement, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. What did they do? They disappeared. What does Christ say? Yeah, I knew that's what them stupid Pharisees would do. No. Woman, where are your accusers? I apparently have none, my Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Go in peace, your sins are forgiven. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. It implies that we can actually disagree and have discussions about it without hatred. It implies that our response when something does not go our way is one of anger or superiority. It implies that because we are a royal priesthood, we have to be prepared to count the cost and serve as servant. It implies that it is not done alone, but in unity with the entire body of Christ.